Welcome to the Man in the Pew Show, brought to you by maninthepew.com. This is the show for men and by men who want to follow Jesus every day, at work, at home, at church, and at play. Now here's this week's episode.
Well, welcome to this week's show. My name is Phil Mershon, and I am your host. So excited that you decided to join me here today. We're going to be talking about the imposter syndrome, and I've got a guest, Ian Anderson Gray, who is going to help me shed light on this issue that I know most of you have faced or do face on a daily basis. Before we get there, if you have any questions, prayer requests, suggestions, email me, phil@maninthepew.com. Also, I'd love it if you'd give a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Just look up Man in the Pew and give us a rating and review. That would be amazing. And then finally, join the fellowship on Facebook. We've got a private group called Man in the Pew Fellowship. Just look it up. Come join. We would love to have you there. We pray for each other, try to encourage each other. It would be awesome to have you there. So as I was thinking about this episode and the issue of the imposter syndrome, I think it was rooted largely in a misunderstanding of who we are in God's eyes. And that led me back to a scripture I literally just read this morning from 2 Timothy, but it's one that I put to music about 12, 13 years ago when I was pastoring and working with kids. So I want to play you this song and then we'll reflect on it for just a minute.
Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
I hope you don't mind that I subjected you to a little bit of my singing. That recording is pretty old. Steve Cook helped me record that a number of years ago. But I give it to you because I think that is a key scripture to think about as you contemplate, why is it that we are afraid someone's going to discover that we're not all we say we are, or we're not all they think we are? We need to reflect on scripture, allow it to shape the way we view ourselves, the way we view sin, the way we view God, the opportunities that we have in this world. And if we have a better understanding of who God's made us to be and what He's up to, then we're able to hold on to things a little bit more tentatively, but also hopefully. So I'd encourage you with that today. Reflect on Scripture deeply, regularly, in community. Memorize it. Let it shape your affections and desires. I know recently I've been reflecting on the fact that King David, while he had many things that he conquered, many things that he did, he also had major foibles. What's the thing that we know about him? The book of Acts says that he was a man after God's own heart, and he did everything God asked him to do. That, for me, is a life verse. That would be something I would love put on my tombstone, that he did everything God asked him to do, and he was a man after God's own heart. What about you? Well, listen in as Ian and I talk today about the imposter syndrome and how we can overcome it.
I'm so excited to be here today with Ian Anderson Gray. And if you don't know who Ian is, he's the founder of Seriously Social, which is a blog focused on social tools and live video production. He's also a consultant, an international speaker, and a web developer, but maybe most interestingly, he's also a professional classical singer. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Phil.
So Ian, I always ask everyone to start with their baseball card stats. No, we're not talking about your athletic career, but instead your family. So tell us about your wife, your kids, and where you live.
Well, yeah, I live in Manchester in the UK, and I'm married to Helen, who we've been married for just over 14 years. And she's a professional musician as well. She's a French horn player and a classical composer and teaches as well. We've got two kids, a girl, Lila, she's nearly 9 years old, and a boy, Timothy, who is 7.
Fantastic. So the next thing I'd love to ask you is a bit of your faith story. So either when you came to faith or when faith became real for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian family. We did go to church a few times, and I was always really interested. I've always been a bit of a deep thinker, and I was asking loads of questions. And it seemed that God was placing a lot of these Christian friends in my life right from an early age. My gran also was a Christian. She had these amazing stories, and I kept on wanting to have this faith that my friends had. But it seemed that every time I tried to become a Christian, I struggled with that. I didn't know how to do it. It just some friends of mine at high school said were Christians, and I asked them all these questions, and I said, "Well, how do I become a Christian?" And none of their answers really seemed to help me. And so it wasn't until I went to university in my first year. I was at university in Durham in the northeast of England, and a really good friend of mine was a strong Christian. We had loads and loads of conversations about faith, and he opened up the Bible and he looked at the Old Testament, and I was blown away by it, you know, particularly like Psalm 22, which is a depiction of the crucifixion written, yeah, I don't know, thousands of years before Jesus actually died on the cross. And it just blew my mind. But I still struggled with becoming a Christian. I just couldn't. I look back at it now, and I was trying to do it in a sense in my own understanding and in my own strength. And after weeks and weeks of struggling and almost kind of like shouting and maybe not screaming, but you know, that kind of thing, I remember very clearly it was about 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and I was so frustrated that I wasn't able to make sense of this in my mind that I decided just to get into bed. And it's a very strange thing, but I look back at it now, and I had this real sense of kind of like an evil presence in the room, this darkness, and I couldn't understand what it was. I felt really, really frightened and afraid. And so I felt a bit silly, but I prayed to God. I said, "Look, God, if you are there, then please take this away from me. It's scaring me." And somehow I fell asleep. And the next day, I can't really put it into words, but I felt changed. I looked out the window, and it was as if it was kind of like I was seeing the world afresh, and I could see. I just felt this closeness to what I now know as God, but at the time I wasn't sure. And a friend of mine, the friend who I found out was praying for me, came back later that day, and I kind of sheepishly, I can't even say the word, sheepishly said, "I think I've become a Christian." And he wanted to test this out, and he said to me, "So, you know, do you see Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And to be quite honest, I said, "I don't know. Tell me what you mean by that." And he explained the gospel to me. And at the end of it, I said, I believe in that. And so piece by piece, I started to understand the gospel. A couple of weeks later, I went to the Christian Union at university, and we had to basically, they had this kind of almost like this test where you had to explain the gospel to the person next to you. And I didn't have a clue what to say. So the other person next to me explained the gospel to me, and all these kind of stepping stones to strengthen my faith came about. And so when I look back on it now, I was trying to do it in my own strength and try to kind of get it in my own understanding and slot all the pieces together. I'm a very logical person. But God was saying to me in a way, "Look, not in your own strength, it's in my strength." And that's how I became a Christian. And it's not been easy. There have been times since that I've wanted to give up. But I've kind of said, well, I can't give it up because I know that God is, I know that God is real, that He is there for me, and there is no alternative. And I come to the point where I am today, where I look back at how God has influenced me and changed me over the years, and it's just been amazing. I've not always realized that. I've sometimes felt God is not there, but He so has been. It's been amazing.
So tell us a little bit. This happened during university. I want to help you get from there to where you are today. But you were pursuing studies in classical music. You became a classical singer. Tell us how you got from that to doing what you do today with social media and being a consultant and web developer.
Yeah, well, I've always been a bit of a geek. Back in the day when it probably wasn't very fashionable to be a geek, I had a computer in my room as a young boy and was programming and doing all that kind of stuff. But I've also been very much involved with music. My mother was an opera singer herself, and so when I went to university to read music, and then I came to Manchester to study voice at the Royal Northern College of Music. And when I left that, I was pursuing performing. My favorite pieces to perform was Handel's Messiah. I just loved that kind of thing. Being able, particularly when I became a Christian, I felt that I was able to sing these amazing words. But as well as that, I wanted to pursue something to do with technology. And this was really at the beginning of the internet, or certainly the beginning of the World Wide Web, when people were starting to build websites. And I started to build websites for my friends and colleagues who were musicians. When they left music college, I started to help to promote them. So that's how I started building websites. And my dad retired around the same time. So we set up a web agency and we build websites for people, for businesses, and particularly looked after the technical side of things, because most people that we worked with didn't want to bother with any of that kind of stuff. But if we fast forward to, this is around 6 years ago, that was still going on. I was still doing performing. I was doing a lot of teaching in singing as well. And about 6 years ago, after years of procrastination, I set up a blog just really as a bit of fun. And then this was a blog called iag.me. And I started blogging about social media tools. I wanted to do something a little bit different. I wanted to go into a bit of detail. And one of the first blog posts I wrote was my experience with using Hootsuite. And I really liked Hootsuite, but I wanted to look at the pros and the cons. And so I wrote a blog post called 7 Reasons Not to Use Hootsuite, which was a bit controversial, followed by one, Why You Should Use It. And those became really, really popular. And it kind of blew me away, the popularity of that blog. And I blogged more, and I started getting into live video. And then I went to Social Media Marketing World, which you may have heard of, and I was blown away by all the people that I'd got to know in the social media world. I got to meet them in real life, and that was a game changer for me, because all the relationships that I'd made online on social media, but meeting them in real life can open doors for me. It connected me with lots of people, and I started to speak at conferences. And I remember the first time I spoke at a conference. This was in Manchester, my hometown here in the UK. I got this opportunity to speak at this conference, and Mary Smith was there, Melanie Dodaro was there, and lots of other people who have been a big influence on my life. And I remember going on stage, or just before I went on stage, feeling this utter fear and this feeling of, why on earth am I here? Why did I say I was going to do this? I'm feeling a bit of an imposter. And then suddenly it all clicked into place. When I went onto stage, everything clicked into place, and I was in this other zone, and I gave my all. I was on this kind of, like, almost like in this other zone, in a sense. And I loved it. And I realized at that point that all that training that I had as a singer and as a performer, I was able to channel into me as a speaker. So where I am today, I'm doing consultancy. I'm training. I'm teaching, and I feel very clearly that God was pushing me or pointing me in this direction through my training as a singer and as a teacher. And now what I'm doing is exactly the same, just in a different sphere with social media. And my passion is really to take something that's difficult to understand, technology that really some people want to understand but can't, and making it easy to understand for them. And so that's where I am today.
All right. But you kind of glossed over the experience that is what we want to talk about today, where you had this momentary experience of feeling, I don't belong here. I feel like an imposter. I'm surrounded by all these amazing people. But I know that that is not a feeling that has just gone away, that you look in the mirror often, because I know I do too. And this is something we want to explore, because I think there's a lot of guys who can relate to this notion of, I don't belong in this league. Do I really have what it takes to succeed in this field? But put your own words to that. What's the battle that you find yourself facing that you want to explore today?
Well, I've come to understand that I'm not alone in this. That actually, probably the majority of people struggle with this. And there's a name for it. It's called imposter syndrome. Now, I didn't realize it was actually, this is actually, psychologists have actually looked at this as a condition, and you can look it up on Wikipedia. They call it a concept of describing individuals who are marked by an inability to internalize their accomplishments and a persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. And I think this is a particular issue for those of us who are self-taught. So, particularly, thinking about in my world of marketing and consultancy and social media, the majority of us have learned, we've not necessarily gone to university to study this or college. We have learned that through our own businesses and through, basically hard work and learning. And so we've not necessarily got a certificate to prove what we know. And I think that's part of the issue. But it's also this, there is this fear of being seen as a fraud or being found out as actually, me getting on stage, for example, and this fear, which I know is completely irrational, but this fear that I'm going to go out there and people in the audience are going to think, well, what, he doesn't know anything. What's he doing here? And of course, the truth is very different. And I think of that also in the singing world. If I get on stage, there is this similar fear of people in the audience saying to you, you can't sing, you're not very good. And of course, the truth is usually nothing is further from the is nothing further from the truth. They're all there wanting to enjoy the performance. So, that's the thing that I think a lot of us struggle with, this imposter syndrome, this struggle with being seen as a fraud.
And I know one of the ways I can relate is as a saxophonist, there's always someone who's better than you. And yeah, there's always people who are playing in a different league. So, some of my saxophone heroes are, whether it's Coltrane of old or Kirk Whalum of present, I know I can't play at the same level that they can, but that doesn't mean that I can't play. And sometimes I think the imposter syndrome is an all or nothing. It's a black and white sort of thing. Yeah. Well, if I'm not at that level, if I'm not Mari Smith at that level, then I really don't have anything to offer. Is that part of what you're talking about? Or is
oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. This is really interesting because, we do, as human beings, we compare ourselves. And, it's a good thing to be connected with people in your own industry, to learn from each other. So, on Facebook, I'm connected with, as I know you are, with loads of people in the social media and marketing sphere. And you kind of see what they're doing and what they know. And you kind of start to look at your own maybe expertise and compare it to some of those people. And that's dangerous, because we comparing yourself to other people, you don't know how much they know. And also, you might be the perfect person to explain something or to work with somebody. You might not know as much as, say, Mari Smith, but you may be the perfect person to explain it to this one person. or to work with one person. So comparing is definitely something that we should stop doing. And I think God has given us, he has made us in his own image, but he's given us individual gifts. He's made, he's created us. And we need to understand and find out more about the gifts that he has given us. And that's why I think imposter syndrome is so dangerous, because we're actually putting this block, this barrier between us and God and in the gifts that he has given us. And I've come to only really realize this relatively recently, and it's something that I'm still continuing to battle with. The other thing I wanted to say also is, you know, in whatever business you're in, there is the kind of this hierarchy of people. So we, you know, we've been mentioning Mary Smith, you know, poor Mary Smith here. But, you know, we're putting people at different levels, which again, you know, we're saying, well, they know more than I do. They're the kind of the superstar. And then there were people below us as well, you know, and the thing when it comes to imposter syndrome is that I think it affects people at all levels and all kind of in the path. It affects us in different ways, but almost the more well-known you become, the more successful you become. Actually, from my experience and from speaking with some people in the industry, the more acute imposter syndrome becomes, because it's almost as if, well, I've got this far, but you know, how long before people actually find I know nothing and I'm actually a fraud? It almost gets worse the more successful you become.
Isn't that interesting that when you have success, you are actually more fearful that people are going to find out that you don't really have what it takes, you don't have the credentials, someone's going to expose you. That's quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And some of it, I know one of the things we talked about is when we have that success, because we're afraid someone's going to expose us, we actually feed into it by sabotaging ourselves, whether it's internally or externally, whether we internally knock ourselves down a few notches so that we don't try to become more successful, or we actually do things publicly that allow people to discredit us. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, definitely. So this is funny because, you know, when I got asked to speak at Social Media Marketing World, and I remember posting that on Facebook and being so excited about it, this privilege of speaking at, you know, the biggest social media conference in the world. And I shared that on Facebook, and people were kind of sharing with that excitement with me. But then people like to see you succeed, but then it's almost as if the next time you do it and the more successful you become, it's you kind of start to have this feeling that maybe I shouldn't be sharing this stuff anymore, because maybe I need to kind of like tone it down a bit, because I don't want to be seen as blowing my own trumpet or whatever. There is this feeling that, you know, we want to be successful, but not too successful, because we don't want to kind of hurt anyone else's feelings here. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea of sabotage, I've only really come to kind of understand it as that very, very recently. So like I know a lot of people are reading at the moment the Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a really, really fascinating book. I don't necessarily agree with everything or like the way he explains things necessarily, but I love the concepts in the book, because this is the idea of what's it called, the upper limit problem, and then trying to, so in a sense, you know, a lot of us maybe have success, and then we feel that maybe that's too much and we need to kind of step back a bit and shy away from that. And this happened to me last year. I launched my first course on my blog on live video, and it completely took me by surprise how successful it was. It was really, really successful. I was selling a lot of these courses and being able to help people with live video. And then it took me ages and ages to think about my next course. And I was starting to, despite all this people kind of talking about how I mean, I find it difficult to say this, but they were saying how amazing my course was. And I was waiting for people to say, actually, you know what? Can I have my money back? This is no good. I was constantly expecting people to say that, but people kept on saying, no, this is great. And then I think I kind of had a bit of kind of self-sabotage here, because I didn't think I could do it again. I thought that was luck. So it took me a long time to get to the point of producing another course and to take things to the next stage. And there have been so many internal battles, and I feel like, in a sense, I've been wrestling with God, because God has been there saying, come on, you've got this message. You need to get it out there and help people. And I've just been, I don't know, he must be so frustrated with me. I've just been sitting there thinking, No, I can't do it. I won't be able to do that again. And I'm not good enough. And all these ridiculous, irrational feelings. And I see that now as self-sabotage, because I felt in some sense that I wasn't worthy of that success. This verse has come up this week for me quite a few times, and I wanted to read it. It's from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I particularly like it from the New Living Translation. And it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And my goodness, that really hit me in the past few weeks. As I knew I was going to be, you know, coming onto this podcast with you, in a funny sense, I had imposter syndrome coming onto this podcast. I was thinking, well, what can I possibly share with people? And I look at this verse, and I now know that God has created us all individually. We are made in his image. Yes, we're flawed. We are sinful. But we, with God's strength and with the amazing gifts that God has given us, we can do God's work, and we can do good things. And that is the most amazing thing. I really want to be able to encourage people and help people. And with God's help, I can do that. So I need to stop giving into this imposter syndrome and this fear, and stop self-sabotaging and trust in God's plan for my life.
I love that verse too. Michael Card wrote a great song on it. And he actually, I think in the Greek, the word there is poema. So we are living poems created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And as a musician, I'm sure you can appreciate that God's the master artist, and he has created and is creating a work in us that is for his good and for the good of the world. I think one thing that's interesting about this whole idea of an imposter syndrome that it feeds back into what you say is, the more success you have, the more alone you feel, the more exposed you are, because you're farther up the mountain. It's like when we're playing King of the Hill when we were kids. You know, if you got to the top, then everyone's going after you. If you stay down at the bottom or in the middle, people don't notice you. So if you do have success, you know, one of the fears that I have when I have success is, well, now they're going to expect more of me. Yes. And I'm not sure I want that. Right? So you created this successful course. Now they're going to expect the next one to be as good, if not better. So, man, I better wait till I've got the perfect course, as opposed to cranking something else out.
And I'm laughing because that was a big problem for me. Yeah. Because my first course, you know, I'm a perfectionist. So I look at it and I thought, it's not quite as good as I would want it to be. So I made the second course. I spent so much longer on it. And at the end of the day, the first course that I did was, you know, was everyone was saying how good it was, and it was giving people what they wanted. So, you know, we need to be careful that we don't become so much of a perfectionist that we just stop creating stuff. And, you know, we need to pray about that, and to ask God to help us to get rid of that perfectionism. Obviously, we want to do our best and we want to help people, but we can definitely put that, press the self-sabotage button there.
I think another thing that factors in here, and this isn't like a pre-crafted list that Ian and I came up with, it's just as we go, but this whole false humility. So, you know, when we are successful, we don't want to be come off as proud and arrogant. And so we resist the temptation to always promote ourselves. But some of the reasons why we don't want to promote ourselves is this idea of false humility, you know, that we pretend, I don't know how to even put it. Maybe you can help me put words to this, but you know, we don't want to come across as proud, so we don't do anything. And that in itself is sabotaging us. I'm not saying that very well, but maybe you can help me.
Well, yeah, it's hard. And, you know, I think about this, you know, when I first spoke at Social Media Marketing World, I was able to express that. And it was as if, you know, I had this amazing opportunity and people were sharing in that success. But I felt this very much when I was speaking the second time and the opportunity to speak a third time. I kind of felt like I had to shy away from saying that because it would feel like I was blowing my own trumpet, that I was being proud and boasting in a sense. And yeah, there is a lot of that, particularly on social media. We, you know, I know a lot of people feel very sensitive when people share stuff. Like maybe they're going on an expensive holiday and they deliberately don't share that because they don't want to make other people feel sad. And then, of course, you get the opposite thing that people share everything about their expensive holidays. And some people feel jealous and there's all this going on, you know, behind the scenes. And so I don't really know what the answer is. But, you know, I think as Christians, you know, we need to remember who is, you know, it's who gives us these gifts, who has made us the way we are. It's actually not, you know, a lot of it is not through our own strength. You know, God expects us to put the hard work in, but he's the one that made us and gave us those gifts. And so, you know, if we're going to be boasting, then we boast in God and in the gifts that he's given us. And we can have humility through that as well. In all honesty, I don't know how we should act. And that's something that I'm constantly working on and trying to kind of think about how I portray myself online in a humble way, but also not wanting to put myself down, but to enjoy the gifts that God has given me. I'll let you know once I worked it out.
Well, I think it is an ongoing work. The words that come together in my mind are humble confidence. So you're confident in who God's made you to be and what you do know and that you have something to offer, but you're not boastful about it. You know, you're not overly tooting your own horn. It is an interesting dynamic, especially those of us who live in the social media and the online world, because to be successful, people have to find out about us. So we need to tell the story so that others can tell the story for us. So we can't be shy about telling the story. And as a musician, you probably can relate. One of my least favorite things to do is tell people about myself. You know, I would rather someone else come in and market me. I'm glad to share the word about Ian, but I sure hope Ian will tell the word about me, because I really don't want to do that because it just doesn't feel authentic. And that's what keeps so many musicians and probably so many people in general from being successful, is because they're not willing to let the world know what they have to offer. Let's spend a few minutes thinking more about scripturally and just biblically what we can do as Christians to counter the imposter syndrome. You've already mentioned one thing, which is remembering who we are in Christ, who God made us to be. And I think some intentional reflection on that probably daily is healthy, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because you know we've got to actually get a bit deep here and look at what imposter syndrome is. And imposter syndrome ultimately is a lie. You know, there is some spiritual warfare going on, and the devil does not want us to know the truth. He wants us to see the lie, a lie about ourselves. You know, and I love C.S. Lewis's the Screwtape Letters, because we kind of see a bit more of the devil's schemes, and he's can be very, very subtle in shaping our thoughts and twisting our view of God and of ourselves. So we need to chip away at that lie. And to do that, we need to do a few things. First of all, we need to pray earnestly every day that God will expose the lie for what it is and take it away. And the second thing is, you know, getting stuck into God's word and looking at the truths there. You know, like that verse that I mentioned from Ephesians, there are so many other bits that are so encouraging, like this Philippians 1:6, God is the one who began this good work in you, and I am certain that he won't stop before it is complete on the day that Christ Jesus returns. So what I've done, and what I definitely recommend to your listeners, is a few things. So I've got two I use Google Docs, but two notebooks that you can create for yourself. The first one is, it could be, you could call it your truth and identity journal. I know that's something that Cliff Ravenscraft does, or you could call it praise and gratitude. Whatever it is, you put in there things that you know to be true about God and you, and you look at the word daily, and if anything strikes you about this, put that verse down, because we're so forgetful, so forgetful. So put that in, things there that you know to be true. Look at what you are, that ways that God has blessed you, and write that down, because we can always remember the negative stuff, but we forget the positive stuff. And that brings me on to the second notebook that I have. So I mean, there's probably a better way of explaining this or calling it. I call this my nice words file. And I put in there every time somebody says a word of encouragement to me, because again, I believe the lie about God's gifts to me and what I've done. So whenever somebody has said something positive about maybe a course that they bought from me or whatever, I write it down in my nice words file. And whenever I'm believing the lie a bit more, if I'm feeling a bit depressed or anxious or whatever, I go back and I look through that and I think, oh my goodness, wow, did people really say that? Because we forget those things. So yeah, definitely write those things down, because if you're anything like me, and I think a lot of people are like this, you forget and you start believing the lie.
Well, and what we tend to do when people praise us is we diminish their praise and we amplify the criticism. So yes. If we get 100 comments and 98 of them are praise and 2 are negative, we focus on the negative, and then we say, well, the people praising us don't really know what they're talking about. Yes. It's only these 2 people who really know what's going on. And that, you know, that it might be 10 people versus 90, but we always do that. We focus on the negative internally and externally. So I love that practice of listing out the kudos that you've received and going back and revisiting them. And I think the practice of looking at scripture and truth. And I wanted to tell a story, and it was probably 12, 13 years ago. I got to a place, a very dark place, where I'd kind of allowed myself through this internal sabotage to get to a place where I was almost despairing of life itself. And the way out was through changing some eating patterns and some exercise, but more importantly was changing my thinking patterns. And it was reminding myself of truth through the memorizing of scripture and placing of scripture all around me so that I could remember the things that were true. And I think the truth, you know, literally set me free, and the truth will set you free from the imposter syndrome if you have a regular structure of reminding yourself of what's true. So I think whatever form that takes, note cards, a book, certainly memorizing, I think is a very important aspect of this. I love that. I think there's another part, Ian, and that would be community. Because a lot of, you know, we talked about the king of the hill. The further up the hill we get, the more isolated we feel, but the more important community becomes. That's been so true.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, I'm a bit of an introvert. You know, I love spending time with people, but I get my energy from being on my own. But the problem with that is that I can, if I'm not careful, if I leave that unchecked, I could spend the whole week at home in my room and I find myself getting depressed. And we need people. We are wired to connect with people. And yeah, okay, you may have frustrations with your local church that you go to. You may not want to go, but there are people there that God has made you to connect with, and not just your local church, online, your community online. So that has been a massive thing for me. So I've been, what another game changer for me was joining a mastermind group and being able to be honest and open with other people and sharing our struggles as well as our successes. And so I've been really blessed by that, being able to connect with other people, because honesty is so, so important. We can't be open, totally transparent with everybody, but we can be in those close groups. So, you know, I would say like a mastermind can be like a church. You know, you can have like a close fellowship at home, but get some friends around, talk, pray, make sure you laugh. You know, we all need to laugh. God has given us laughter and humor. But yeah, you need to... The whole thing with imposter syndrome is that it is actually really hard to admit because this struggle with it. So you need to find some people that you can be totally honest and open with and pray through it. And I feel in a way that's one of the gifts that God has given me, that for whatever reason, I came to this point many years ago of just saying, you know what, I can't hold this in any longer. I need to be open and honest. And through this, I hope that I can encourage other people to deal with these issues, because it's just, they can plague us. If we leave them hidden inside us, they can plague us forever. So find a community, find some friends. Maybe if you've got a mastermind group that you can join with, join that and start to talk about these things and work through it. And God will definitely, he will help you through these things, because he has given us these gifts. He's given us these amazing talents to not just hold on to ourselves, but to bless other people out there. So, you know, actually we need to do something about that.
Absolutely. I'm reminded John Eldridge in his book, Wild at Heart, talks about the things that men need to hear in particular. And one of those things is you've got what it takes. And we may or may not have fathers around who are telling us that, but we need brothers for sure who we're banding with, who remind us, who, you know, are not going to shy away when we have fallen into that pit of despair, but instead are going to throw us the rope and draw us back out and build us back up, knowing that we are created in God's image, and that we have something that the world needs and that they need us. You know, and it's, I think it's a gift to find people like that. Not everyone's going to be that way toward you. Mm. It's, you can't be that way toward everybody either, but finding those kinds of relationships and putting yourself in that place, admitting it when you're, you know, slipping into that pit, also, you know, being able to rejoice in your moments of success, and they'll bring you back down so you don't live in the clouds, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
Cool. Anything else? Like, are there books that you've read that you find you need to reread that are important for this?
Well, yeah, there's loads of books that I've been reading. I feel like I've had so many kind of mindset shifts over the past year. I'm kind of wondering what is God going to lead me to next? So, you know, it's a lot of books that I've been reading, they're not written by Christians necessarily. So I think as well as reading these business books, I think we also need to make sure that we're reading the Bible and listening to these words through a filter. So we're making sure that because there are some truths in a lot of these books, but you know, we have to make sure that we are listening to God. So that, yes, I mean, some of the books that I've been reading recently, like The Big Leap is a great book. I keep getting it mixed up. Is it The War of Art or The Art of War? I think it's the War of Art.
Well, there is both of those.
Well, I know, but the one I'm talking about.
It's The War of Art.
The War of Art. And that is a book, I don't particularly like the way it's written, but I like the idea that there is this resistance between, there's always going to be this fear. And I think that's kind of imposter syndrome as well. That can be this barrier between us and getting to the next stage. So there's those books. There's Thou Shall Prosper, which is by a rabbi, Daniel Lepin or whatever. I'm forgetting his name. So there's all these books that I've been reading recently that have helped me in trying to kind of work out what is this? What is holding me back? I think I'm getting now to the point of understanding and finding a vocabulary to describe what this condition is, and then making sure that I'm reading the Bible. There's actually quite a few podcasts you can listen to. Obviously, there's this one, and make sure that you are getting stuck into God's Word every day. And I can't remember who said this, but we're all pushed for time. So don't beat yourself up if you can only read a couple of minutes of God's Word every day. That's still good. That's still better than nothing. But maybe every week or every 2 weeks, have a feast. Get God's Word out and get stuck in and spend longer, because we need to feed on His Word. We need His strength. We need to make sure that we are walking the path that God has set out for ourselves, and make sure that we put space into our lives, because I don't know what it is. I don't know whether this is more of a man thing, but I find a lot of my male friends get frustrated that they don't have this connection, this kind of like this phone line to God, and they get frustrated that they can't hear Him. But I find that I get frustrated with that. But I find that if I put more space and more time, maybe go out for the day and, you know, maybe walk around and pray and listen to God, that He does subtly tell me His plans. And we need to put more space in so that we are actually making sure we are following God's plan for our lives.
Yeah, I find that it sometimes takes me 15 minutes to silence my head so that I can actually hear God speak. And that's not normal. My normal day doesn't allow me just to have 15 minutes of quiet before I really dig in and pray and read. So I like that idea of a feast where, you know, you can linger. You can be in the Word, but you can have those moments where you're pausing between courses, so to speak, yeah. You know, and letting it soak in. But then there's the idea of praying without ceasing, which to me, that is you're regularly talking to God about things that are coming up throughout the day. So it's not as if you're saying, I've got to spend an hour at one sitting, although that's good and I think it's helpful, but you also want to be having conversations with God through the day and being reminded of things that are true. So, you know, sometimes you have to figure out what works for you, but putting scriptures in strategic places on your bathroom mirror or in your office or on your computer screen or popping up on your phone. You know, I love the Bible apps feature where every day they give you a new verse in the morning. And so when I pick up my phone, there's a new verse for the day. And, you know, I don't have many other notifications turned on, so that's always the first thing that I see, you know, in the morning. And so figuring out what those regular rhythms are, the things that you can do to feed yourself with truth and to pray about these things. So I love it. Any closing thoughts that you'd like to offer to guys, things that you want to make sure they think about as they go into the week?
Well, yeah, just realize that if you struggle with these things, you are not alone. These are issues that a lot of us are not open and don't talk about. You know, these can be struggles with anxiety, with depression, with a lack of self-belief. But we need to, God has made us to be relational. He's made us to be in a community. So don't struggle alone. Do talk to friends. Do speak to other people out there who can help you through this. And remember, and pray, even though that might be hard, that might be really tough, and you might feel that that's the last thing that you feel like doing, but just do it anyway. You know, pray until you pray, and just make sure that you do that daily, and that you write down the positive things as well as the negative things. And I do recommend having a couple of files, one for truths, things that you know to be true, and also write down some positive things that when people say positive things about you and the way God has made you, write those down and look at those every day. And we just pray that you will get through this, and know that the fear that you have in this this imposter syndrome is a lie, but it is also something that will hopefully push you on to the next stage in what God has got planned for you, this exciting plan that God has given to you So definitely go through that.
Amen. You can be free from this, and that's the good news. It's not necessarily going away, but you have the tools to quiet that voice and to live in the light of the truth of who God's made you to be, part of his plan, part of his community, part of his purpose. So I love it. Ian, where can guys learn more about you and everything that you've got going on?
So the probably the best place to go is my website. So that's iag.me, and that stands for my initials, Ian Anderson Gray. And you can find me on Twitter at iag.me. That's iag.me, just to confuse people, or just search for my name. I'm on most of the social networks. Just search for my name, Ian Anderson Gray. And I'd love to connect with you. And, you know, if you've got any thoughts, or if you struggle with this as well, I'd love to know. I'd love to talk to you.
Thank you, Ian. This has been episode number 45. So guys, you can find the show notes at maninthepew.com/045. Ian, we always close with prayer, and I'd like to ask you to pray first, and then I will close this out.
Thanks, Phil. Lord God, thank you so much that you have made us as your masterpiece. We are your masterpiece, and you have created us in your own image. You've given us, each of us, individual gifts. And I do pray, Lord, that you will help us to not believe this lie, that we'll believe the truth. Help us to continually pray and to read your word, and help each of us to encourage each other to find these gifts and to follow this path that you've given each of us. So Lord, do bless us, continue to bless us, help us, Lord, because we need your strength and your power through this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I pray that you would cause your word to be living in our minds and in our hearts, helping us to renew our minds and to quiet these untruths, these false beliefs that we develop about ourselves, about who we are, or what we've accomplished and what we can do. And Lord, instead, Lord, that you would build faith in us that we can accomplish all the things that you put before us, that you've gifted us for these things. I pray, Father, that for those who are living in self-doubt right now, who are believing the imposter syndrome, Lord, that you would surround them with brothers who will lift up their arms and remind them of truth, that you will even bring them to them today a word of encouragement that they can cling to, that will help them to grab onto that rope that you've offered to pull them out of this pit of despair. Father, I pray that you will pull your church in general, but specifically the guys who are listening to this and the guys that we know, Lord, would we be that encouragement to each other that we can live in light of your truth today? Father, give us power, give us grace to move on, to forgive ourselves as you've already forgiven us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will enable us to do what you've set before us today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.